He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power and author of the book True Freedom. I am excited that you have joined with our broadcast of His Gospel Power. As we look into the Word of God, we discover that God is all-powerful and that Jesus is alive. He operates in our lives on a daily basis. As we go through this study, we will understand as we read the Word that Jesus is alive.
He is alive. We're looking at John, the 12th chapter today, the triumphal entry. This is Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday when Jesus came riding in on a donkey. Pretty strange, isn't it? Came riding in on a donkey. Seems like He could have ridden in on anything. For sure, He could have ridden in on a steed. He could have ridden in as royalty, ready to show that here I am. I'm in charge. I am the conquering hero. And that is exactly what the Jews expected Him to do. They expected Him to come right. They expected the Messiah. They expected the one they were looking for, the anointed one, the one who was set apart for us to come riding in on a white steed, showing that I am the all-powerful one and I'm going to conquer Rome. I'm going to wipe out your troubles. You will no longer have to worry about what's going on. I'm going to conquer Caesar. And if that would have happened, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, everyone would have run behind Him and said, "Let's go." Instead, He came riding in on a donkey. When you study history, it's very important to study the Old Testament. Young ones, don't forsake the Old Testament. Don't ever let anyone tell you, "Oh, the Old Testament doesn't matter." You only need to read the New Testament. That's all that's important now. That's the life of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you that is extremely important to study the New Testament. It's very good to study the New Testament. Get it under your belt, as it were. Learn the New Testament. But then as you learn the New, make sure you take a look at the Old. Because what the Old does is it makes you be able to understand much, in fact, all of what goes on in the New Testament. You see, Jesus came riding in on a donkey. They were laying palm leaves before Him, and they were laying tunics before Him. Why? What is that all about? What is Palm Sunday? What is that about? They laid those branches before Him because when the conquering king came in peace, He came in on a donkey. The conquering king who came in for the war to let you know what? This is what we're going to do. He came riding in on a horse. But the king who just wanted to come basically to talk, he wanted to come and talk with the other kingdom. He came riding in on a horse. On a donkey. This was passive. And they laid palm branches before the king so that it would cushion his ride as he came in. It wouldn't make that, when the donkey stepped on those or the horse stepped on those, it cushioned his ride. They didn't want it to be a rough ride for him to come in. And that's what this Palm Sunday is about. But see, Jesus expected Messiah of the Jews didn't come in on a horse, saying, "Now we're going to wipe everybody out." He came in on a donkey, the Prince of Peace. And the Jews missed it because they didn't understand that He came offering them salvation for all eternity. Not only the Jews, He came to conquer. He came to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Is why Jesus came, the Prince of Peace. riding on a donkey. He came to conquer. He came in so that we would have eternal salvation. He came in to Jerusalem knowing this was his last week. Knowing what awaited for him. Knowing that it was certain death on the cross waiting for him. He came in the Prince of Peace. Jesus, first off, is King. John 12:12-13 says, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" Don't you know that the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, they heard the King is coming and they were, it ate them up. They couldn't stand it. Because you see, they wanted to be in power. You know, if the King comes and conquers, guess what? All of those who are already in power, he's probably going to utilize them. And they knew they would be in power. If they wiped out the Romans, the Pharisees, the chief priests, all of the priests, they would be in charge. They would have the power. They'd be in control. But Jesus comes in on a donkey, the Prince of Peace. They knew that it meant this is a peaceful entry. And they saw that. And they heard the people shouting, "The King of the Jews, Hosanna." Hosanna is a Hebrew word. And it means save. They were shouting to Jesus, "Save us." Hosanna means save. They were, as they came in, they were saying, "Save! Save!" Boy, the Pharisees and Sadducees knew exactly what that meant. They were saying to him, "You are the King of the Jews. Save us from the tyranny of the Romans." But Jesus did much more than that. He saved us from the tyranny of the evil one. He saved us from the tyranny of Satan himself. He saved us from tyranny of eternity. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. The end is coming soon. We sang the song, "Soon and Very Soon." It's Miss Kathleen's favorite song. "Soon and Very Soon. We're going to see the King." Y'all remember that from when I'm gone. So y'all make sure you continue to request that song. That's Miss Kathleen's favorite song. Did I do okay there? "Soon and very soon we are going to see the King." See, the King came riding in on a donkey, but the next time when Jesus comes back, he will be riding on a white horse. And he will conquer evil. And he will come in the clouds. And we will join with him in the clouds. And evil will be destroyed. Evil will be gone. Many say, why would a loving God allow evil to continue on this earth? He's not going to. It's in his time. It's not in our time. Sin is not God's fault. It's our fault. It's man's fault. I could go there, but I won't even go there. It's man's fault. It's Adam's fault. Okay. I did good. Okay. It's man's fault that sin is in the world. It is not God's fault. He gave us freedom to choose. And we chose the wrong path. Hosanna. Save, Jesus. So Jesus came to save. And in John 12:14-16, prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies. Statisticians say that even if he was to fulfill three prophecies, actually, one is astronomical, three is impossible. Statisticians say that three prophecies fulfilled by Jesus are impossible. They were written over hundreds of years. And this man comes, three prophecies to be fulfilled would be impossible. But yet, he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. How did he do that? Because he was fully man. He's fully God. Jesus is the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He came, and He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is God, and He fulfilled prophecy. And here's yet another one. John 12:14-16. Jesus found a young donkey, and He sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, His disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that all these things had been written about Him and that they had done these things to Him. See, prophecy is not easily understood. In fact, prophecy most of the time, if not all of the time, is never totally understood until it has happened, until it has occurred. And you said, oh, man, so that's what that meant. We see it now. Unfortunately, when it was explained to the Pharisees and the Sadducees by Peter in Acts, in the book of Acts, if you recall, he stands before the Sanhedrin. He tells them all of these things that have already happened. And you would think, because they were scholars of the Word, because they knew the Word backward and forward, when He explained that to them, they just said, oh, wow, we see that. We understand that. We see that the prophecy has been fulfilled. Let's get behind Jesus. Let's worship Him. He is God. And you would expect that. But instead, they rejected Him and they shunned Him. And they ran from Him. Because why? Because the fleshly power that they have, they didn't want to turn away. You see, we have the same problem that we live today in our flesh. There is fleshly things that we want to hold on to. Well, I can't give that up. I can't give that up. I kind of like that. I can't give this up over here. Surely God didn't mean I have to give this up. Many things in our life that we know go against the Word of God, we still cling to, we keep from our past. Why do we do that? It's part of that flesh that we have to carry around. It's part of that sin nature that we give up to God whenever we get Jesus into our heart. Zechariah 9:9-13 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle in riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That was the prophecy fulfilled from Zechariah hundreds of years before. And then he continues, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim," that's Israel, and the war horses from Jerusalem. "And the battle bow will be broken." Do you see how they didn't see this? Jesus came in riding on a donkey, the Prince of Peace. "I am coming as a God of love, so that we can show love to the rest of the world." Remember, God set up Jerusalem. They set up Israel, rather. God set up Israel so that they would be a people of God and show the rest of the world what it is to worship and to serve a loving God, so that the people of the world might follow a loving God and follow the example of Israel. Instead, Israel continuously followed the world. We're studying tonight in our Old Testament survey about the fact that Israel was always trying to follow what the ancient Near East culture was. Does that sound familiar? It sounds dangerously familiar to me. Because the church today, after we have received His grace, after we know the love of Jesus, after we know we have eternal salvation forever and ever and ever. You know, it's hard for us to grasp what eternity means. I don't understand it. Do y'all understand what eternity means? Can you comprehend a million years from now? How about a billion? How about a trillion? You know what? If you want to know the honest truth, it's probably hard for us to comprehend an extra 100 added to our life. Even here. Eternity is what God has given to us, but yet we can't seem to grasp it. We want to hang on to the things of this world. All of the things that feel good to us on this earth. Man, we are so short-sighted people. That is what Israel was. Don't feel bad. Don't start coming down too hard on Israel. Because we're the same. Because instead of the church invading the culture of America, the culture is invading the church. The culture is changing the church to form it in its image instead of us changing the culture. And what does that mean? It's because we don't speak up. We do not proclaim God's mercy and His grace. We do not proclaim Jesus to a lost and dying world. And why is that? Because we know when we make that proclamation, there is going to be persecution that befalls the Christian. And how do we know that? It's in the Word of God. It's in the history books. You can look at all, secular or otherwise, you can look at all of the history books. Those pesky Christians. You read about them. Josephus wrote about Christos, the people of Christos, and how they were like a band of thieves, or not thieves, but of bandits. They were a bunch of bandits running around. That's how we were looked at, because we didn't conform to the world. We conformed to the Word of God. That's how God wants us to live our life. And He says He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow, and I will fill it. Judah, of course, being the southern kingdom, Ephraim being the northern kingdom of Israel. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to bend you. I'm going to do what you... I'm going to call you under obedience. But the promise is, I'm going to restore you. That's the promise to Israel. That's the promise to us. And in fact, because of this time of year, we are restored. We are restored. We have the victory. We can walk with our head held high no matter what the circumstances. We have the victory. We are restored. And so third, now we can understand. Unfortunately, Israel could have understood as well. They choose not to. Those in the world who choose the world choose not to understand. But we can understand. If you have Jesus in your heart, if you've had the revelation, if He's come to you and showed Himself to you, and you have accepted Him, now you can understand John 12:17-19. Now the crowd that was with Him when He called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that He had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet Him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after Him." You see, they could have understood. They have access to the same word that we do. They have access to the same word of God that those people that were shouting Hosanna had to God. They had access. Praise the Lord, though evil will be destroyed. See, evil is done for. We have the victory. I have read the back of the book. Jesus said we win. He says that He will not tolerate evil for an eternity. He's going to wipe it out. But yet, He is waiting for that last one to accept Him. We've gone through a study, make disciples. Who make disciples? The disciple that you choose to make may be the last one. And God says, that's the one I've been waiting on. And He says, come up here. It could be that one that you speak to. It doesn't have to be pastors and priests and big time preachers. It doesn't have to be deacons or Sunday school teachers. It has to be believers who know about Jesus Christ, who share His Word and talk to someone about Jesus. That's who has to speak to. That's probably, if I know my God, it will not be Billy Graham that speaks to the one and says, you need to come to Jesus, and then the rapture happens. It will be the lowest of the low. It will be the last one that you would ever expect that will talk to that person. And in heaven, when the rewards are being passed out, that lowest of the low, Billy Graham will be at the back of the line. And I'll be standing way behind him. All of those people that were faithful to God, that just like the woman with the two mites that put him in the offering plate. But they're giving every single thing they got. It's going to be you young ones that are going to speak to the last one. Before Jesus comes. Now, I can't definitively say that for sure. But I know the characteristics of my God. And the characteristics of my God is He chooses the least among us to be the greatest. Jesus was born to a carpenter's son, as a carpenter's son. He wasn't born a king. He was not born with fine linens, robes. He was born in a carpenter's family. God uses the least of us to be greatest. Never think to yourself that, hey, I mean nothing. Never think to yourself that what I'm doing has nothing to do with the kingdom. Never think to yourself that I am affecting nothing. Never think to yourself, oh, well, somebody else will get it because I'm nobody. Because in Jesus, you have the victory and you are someone. And you may be that one that God has picked to say, you need to have Jesus as your Savior. I want to tell you about Him. And at that moment, you stand before God and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. The least among you will be the greatest. Today should remind us more than any other, He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy to be lifted up. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Here comes the King! This is the season for us to remember that He was fully man. He was fully God. He rose so that your life will make a difference to someone else. He rose and He gave you this gift. He gave you a gift of eternal salvation so that your life could affect someone else. He gave you the gift so that you would give it away. If you knew where people are just passing out $1 million, come up there, man. They got a briefcase for you. They got $1 million. They're just giving it away. Whoever comes, it's infinite. It doesn't matter. There's no number on how many they've got. They got tons of them. And if they're like the U.S., if they don't have enough, they just print up some more. They got tons of million suitcases, $1 million. And they say, now, if you can have this. Now, just tell everybody. I sure don't want anybody to know. Why wouldn't you? They're not going to take your $1 million back. They're not taking your suitcase back. They're saying, tell everybody. They're giving away free suitcases of $1 million. Anybody who comes, all you got to do is say, I heard you have $1 million. Can I have it? Yeah, here it is. It's that simple. Why would we hide such a gift? And yet, we have so much more of a gift to give, and yet we hide it every single day. Because we're either afraid of being laughed at, or persecution, or not being cool, or worried about what the people at the office are going to say. Why would we hide such a gift? Take every opportunity that you have and know that you have the victory. You are not the least, but you are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because you are very special, each one of you. God has a plan for each one of you. He has someone that He wants you to talk to. And each one of you know who it is. I don't know. I couldn't go around and say, okay, you're supposed to talk to John, you're supposed to talk to Joe, and you're supposed to talk to Mary. I couldn't do that. I can't tell you who you're supposed to be talking to. God has something for your life. Make sure that you give that gift that He has given to you. And all the more at this time of year, remember His sacrifice that we have eternal salvation. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your gift. We thank You for Your sacrifice. We thank You that we have eternal salvation. We thank You that You have freely given it to us. And Father, now I pray that we will freely give it back. That we will freely give it to another. That we allow others to come to heaven through us as we step before God and He says, well done, faithful servant. I pray that that will be everyone in this room who reaches out to You and gives Your love away. I give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us to hear the truth about Jesus Christ on His gospel power. This is a listener-supported ministry. If you would like to partner with us, we would invite you to help us financially support this ministry. This ministry goes into households around the world to bring the good news of the gospel and spread hope to those who have no hope. If you would like to give, you can do so by going to our website, www.hisgospelpower.org, and click on Donate. Any amount is appreciated. Even $5 per month will help us to continue to bring the gospel to you every day. You can also go to Amazon.com and order one of my books. The proceeds of the books go to His Gospel Power. If you're unable to give financially, I ask you to become a prayer partner. Go to my website, HisGospelPower.org, and fill out the email submission form. This will allow us to maintain contact with you and pray for your needs as well. God bless you as you have joined our internet congregation. I pray that we can join together and proclaim the gospel of Christ together to reach a lost and dying world. Until next time, I pray that you receive His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and praise His holy name. He's calling. Thank you. for tomorrow.